So today's daf is the final daf in Masechet Beitzah, and we're up to daf Mem. And I think that we got up to the Mishnah on Lamed Tet Amud Beit, if I'm not mistaken. So let's start with that. Zok Tehelik Mishnah, Mi Shehayu Perotav Bi'ir Acheret, Me'arvu B'nei Ota Ir. Let's imagine a situation like this. A guy lives in a town, and he went away for Shabbos, and he's got his peros in that town. Now, the people in that town know that he's going to need his food, so what they do, it's for Yontif, and what they do is they made an Erev to be able to bring him his peros, which is really a lovely thing to do. Problem is, since he didn't make an Erev, these perot get the din of his trum, and his trum is not allowed to move those perot from that original town because they're out of the trum. It's something that's out of the trum, can't be moved at all. His trum, being as he's staying for Shabbos in the other city, is in the other city. So therefore, it doesn't help him that they made an Erev, but v'im Erev, Erev hu perotav kamo. But though the perot were in the other town when he made the Erev, if he makes his own Erev, then they can bring the perot to him. Because then the perot are considered to be with him in the same trum. And that trum includes, remember, we're moving our little circle. So that trum now is within the circle of the Erev that he made because it includes the other town where he lives. Great. So in that case, anybody can move. I mean, as long as they're allowed to move, but they made an Erev. And his peros are in the area of his Erev, which is the same overlapping area. Therefore, there's no problem that they're allowed to bring him the perot in that case. This is a very powerful illustration of the interrelationship of the person's trum with his peros trum. Mi shezimein etzlo orchim. Let's imagine a case like this. A guy invites guests. They come to his house on Yontif, and now they got this delicious dessert. And he says, oh, how would you like to take some dessert home? And he cuts a couple pieces of cake and packs it all up for them so they can go home with it. Problem is that these guests, since they were outside, they made an Erev to be able to get there to his house, but he didn't make an Erev to be able to get to their house. So therefore, when he gives them dessert, they're not allowed to take the dessert home with them. So, lo yolichu biyadam manot, elim kein zikalei manoteyem Erev yom tov. The only thing that he would be able to do would be to give them the ownership. How could he give the ownership to them? He could give it to someone to be zoche in it, and even though they're not there, so that would be giving it to them. And therefore, since zachin la adam shelo b'fanav, so then they are the owners. And then that means that it gets their trum. Since they had made, the guests had made an erev to be able to come from their town to this gracious host, who wants to give them all of these yummy desserts, they can now take these yummy desserts back home with them. Itmar. So now the question is the relationship of the following machlokas to our Mishnah. It says like this. Somebody gives over his perot to another individual to take care of. So that person is a shomer. She's mafkit perot et zachavero. So Rav Amar, the din over there would be that the tchum of the perot is the tchum of the person who gave it. In other words, the tchum of the actual owner and not the tchum of the person, the tchum of the person to whom he gave it. But Shmuel says it's the tchum is like the person who is mafkid, the actual owner, and not the person who is the shomer. Now, what would be the basis of a machlokas like that? Now, it could be, we do know that there's another machlokas between Rav and Shmuel that seems to actually relate to this machloket, and maybe that was the basis, and that goes like this. Shall we say that Rav and Shmuel are simply following the way that they understand a din in a different Mishnah? It's not, we have this Mishnah in Baba Kama. Now, the question over here in the Mishnah is the issue about whether if you are walking along, are you, and there's a metzia there, and there's a guy who sees the metzia, and he says, could you pick that up for me? Are you considered to have picked it up for him? So that means that you can't decide that you're going to keep it, because you already mezaka him with it at the moment that you picked it up. So the question over there is that since when you take that metziah, you are basically preventing anybody else who has the option of, up until the time that you pick it up, has the option to pick it up for themselves. What you're doing is you're being zocha for somebody else, b'makom shechav la'achiri. It's in a place where it limits the rights of other people. So we have a machlokas over there about whether you can do that. So if you're not affecting anybody else, that's one thing. If you're affecting other people, so then there you don't say that zochin le'adam in that case. So now the question over there is, oh, sorry, what am I doing? I'm doing last night's stuff to you. I'm really crazy.
I was looking in the Rashi. I was searching. Okay, it's a whole different approach.
Redoing last night. And here I think, wow, it's so relaxing, talking to everybody. Of course it's relaxing because I'm half asleep. No, sorry, we're past that, machlokas. Okay. So now we're talking about a completely different machlokas. So the machlokas over there is when you give something, you bring in your animal or your things into somebody else's rishus. And he says, yeah, you can sit it down. Set it down in my house if you wish. So then the question is, the saying, set it down in my house, is that considered to be the equivalent of saying, set it down, I'll keep an eye on it, which means that he accepts the chiyuv of shmira? Or does it mean, you're welcome to set it down, but don't expect me to take care of it. You take care of it yourself. So that's a machlokas. So in the Mishnah over there above a comma, it says that if the person said to him, you can set it down. So then the owner of the house, the Bala Chatzer that he put it in, he is the one that is chayev if any damages occur, even though he didn't say beferish. That's the Tanakhama. But he didn't say beferish, I'm going to watch it. The equivalent of saying set down is that, obviously, I'm going to tell you set it down and then lose your property. Whereas Rebbe says, no, he just means you have a right to set it down. But the olam eno chayav, I shikabel ala bayit ishmor. He has to accept responsibility if you're going to be mechayev him in responsibility. So there we had a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. So Rav Huna said that Rav said that Allah is kedivrei chachamim, which means that an individual is always considered to be a real shomer, where Shmuel says the Allah is like Rebbe. So therefore, maybe that's the same issue in the machlokas that we just said. So Rav, who says that the tchum of that animal or those peras is the tchum of the shomer, so he's going basically according to the Rabbanan, who say that, yes, indeed, he's a real shomer. Whereas Shmuel, who says, no, the tchum is the person who brought it in. He's going according to his own psak, which he said before, that the halacha is like Rebbe, and according to Rebbe, the person is not a shomer. So Gemara, what in the world are you talking about? It doesn't say over there in our Mishnah, it doesn't say that he didn't accept achrayas. We're talking about a normal case of a real shomer. What are you comparing it to? A case that the whole issue is he a shomer? Over here, we're talking about he is a shomer. I don't understand what you're saying. So, of course, Rav would say to you, I'm saying even according to Rebbe, I mean, the only machlokas over there between Rebbe and the Tarech HaChomim was Arkam Lokom Rebbe Yassam Elo Debistoma Loki Bela Lov Netiruta. All Rebbe said was, if you just said to put it down, that's not a Kabbalah of Achrayas. But our Mishnah says a Shomer. A guy gave it to a Shomer. That means that he was Makabal Achrayas. So here in this case, obviously Rebbe would agree that it's given the Tchum, like I'm saying, of the person who is Makabal Achrayas. And Shmuel could say just the opposite. Shmuel could say, on the contrary, I could say, Afila Libin Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan over there said that the person who put the Shor in the Rishus of the Balabayit, and even though the guy said, set it down, they didn't say beferish, I'm going to watch it for you. But we understand that it means I'm going to watch it for you, right? And the person who puts it is very happy that the guy should watch it for him. He wants him to watch it for him because over there, nechale lidish to take him to Rebbe Roshuti to Bala Chatzer, the Mazik Lelo Mechayev. Look, I mean, he's sure could easily cause damage in the yard of the Balabayit. I mean, it may eat up his parish or something, right? So like this, if the guy himself who owns the house accepts the responsibility, obviously he accepts the responsibility on his own parish. He's never going to be able to come to me and say, would you bring your stupid shore into my plate to eat up all of my favorite turnips? That's out of the any kind of reasonable relationship. Oh, okay, you accepted it. Okay. So therefore, but over here, I don't understand what you're saying. That because the guy, I mean, let's say the guy accepted Shmira. So therefore, what? So therefore, I want my shor to get the tum of the shomer. Why would I do that? I put it in his rishus vis-a-vis Shmira, because that's good for me. To put it in his rishus vis-a-vis the tum, I don't want to do that. I want it to continue to be able to come to me wherever it is that I am. If I make an Erev, I want it to be able to be brought into my Erev. I should bring it according to my Erev. So therefore, again, the question of the issue of whose Trum it is would have to do with the Shaila of who is the owner in terms of the Das of the person who actually does own it. So in this case, why would I think such a thing? So Tain is Rab. Now, Tanan, this is where it gets involved in our Mishnah. Why are we bringing this in over here? Because it says over here that if the person is got his parents in one city, and he lives in, and now for Shabbos, Yontem, I mean, he's in the other city. So, Imi Rev, who, Perotov Kamo, but if he made an Erev, so then he is allowed, and the people in that town are allowed, if they made an Erev, to bring him his Perot. Now, if you're going to tell me that I give the din that karagle mishiv kido etzlo, and it goes according to the ones in whose rishus it was and not the real owner, so what difference would it make if its owner made an eruv, because the tchum of these perot are not his, the tchum of the perot is whoever it was that was taking care of the perot. And our Mishnah says that the tchum goes according to the guy who decided to make an Erev, the real owner. But then that shows that Rav is wrong, because Rav says it does not go according to you. So why don't we bring a Rai against Rav, a Tiyufta from the Mishnah? Omer, Avuna Amri Be Rav, Tegon Sheyichei Lo Karen Zavis. What the Talmidim of Rav says, that our Mishnah is talking about a case where he's not a Shomer. So what's he doing in his house? He lent the guy a closet in his house. So in other words, the person asked him, can I bring my things into your house? He says, okay, you can have that corner. You can have that closet. And when you say that, there you're vadai not accepting the responsibility. Because what you're trying to say is that, look, you want a place, I'll lend you a place. That's the place I'm lending you. You define the closet that says. Why in the world would you be chayiv to watch something that's in someone else's rishus? You gave him that rishus. So therefore, for sure, in that case, you're not a shomer. See, even Rav would agree that, of course, in there, and that's what we're talking about, that the tchum is still the tchum of the person who put it into the closet. Since he made an Erev, so now he's allowed to have his parents brought to him. Okay, Tashma, still, the next piece of the Mishnah seems to go against Rav. So we had the case, guy invited out of town people. They're going to come, al yaday an erev. And now he wants to give them dessert. So the only way he can give them dessert is if he's mezakeh them the dessert before yontem. So lo yolichu biyodam manot, elim kein zikala minoteyem erev yom tov. So basically what the Mishnah is saying is that if he did give it to them before, so they're allowed to take it with them on Yontav. Now, if you hold, like Rav, that it's karagle mishiv kido etzlo, so then what good would it be to give them something through another person? Nothing was changed, because Lamaisa, currently, who is the guy who's watching over your dessert? Me. I'm taking care of your dessert. So the fact that I made you the legal owner of it, what difference does it make? Even if it was literally you were the owner, and then you came and you told me to, can you hold my dessert? So according to Rav, the dessert would have my tum. So what good does it do to be mezakeh? So the Mishnah itself is saying, beferish, not like Rav. Because over here, it says beferish, that they are allowed to bring it home, which means it gets the tum of the person who, so to speak, had given it to me to keep for them. I mean, that's not really what happened, obviously, but for all intents and purposes, that's the situation. I gave it to them before Yontev, and then they, so to speak, gave it to me to keep a watch on it to make sure that nothing, that I wouldn't need it. Anyway, so says the Gemara. Well, actually, there's a way out of this because it could be talking about over here, and it's talking about over here. Remember that he went out of his way to give it to them through somebody else, right? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why can't he just give them the dessert? There's only one reason he did that, you idiot. He did that because he wanted them to be able to take it home. So how can you say that in that case? He accepts the shmira on it, that he should be considered to be the one who's taking care of it. It should go according to his tchum. If the whole point of being mezaket was that he's showing my das is that I do not want it to have my tchum, I want to have his tchum. Rav already said that he agrees in a case where it's obvious that the person didn't give the ownership for that purpose. So how can you possibly read the Mishnah like this? So given that's at least the equivalent of a case of lending the guy a closet, right? I mean, that's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm keeping it in my house to be able to give it to you. That's all. So that's the equivalent case of Kibishi Yichid Le Karen Zavid Dami. And there's no reason why I should be considered to be the shomer. Or if you can say that in a case where you were mizakeh, basically, you're just the very fact that you were mizakeh means that it's different than a normal case of shmira, because in this case, you're really saying, I don't want to take the rishus of watching it for you, which would make me a shomer. So there's two basic ways of seeing it. One way of seeing it is that it's the equivalent of lending him a place for it. And the other is that it's sufficient, by the same idea, that it's sufficient for me to simply say, I don't want it to be in my tchum, but that prevents it from getting the tchum. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, so the next case we take for granted, we're going to see that was a big mistake, taking it for granted, but we took for granted that the issue in the next case was an issue of tchumim. Fine. So what happened was like this. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, was Tala Bisra Ba'abra Dadasha. So what had happened was that he was visiting, and people knew that he was going to be coming in late before Yontif. So they sent this meat from the store over there, and he had made an Erev, and they put the meat, when he wasn't home to take delivery, they put the meat on hanging on the door of where he was in this bed and breakfast, right? So fine. So he's there for part of Yontif, and now he wants to use his Erev to take the meat back home with him. So what happened is he came. So also the Kamin Ravuna. So Rav Chana bar Chaniloi went to Ravuna to ask him, is he allowed to take it home on Yontif or not? In other words, basically, since it was put on his door before Yontif, so does that mean that it has his tchum or not? So what he told him was, Ravuna said to him, "I'at talit, if you yourself hung it up on that door, so then you can take it. But if they hung it up on the door, so that the people in the bed and breakfast hung it up when it was delivered, so then lo tishko, you're not allowed to take it home." Now, what would be the reason for that? Lechora would be exactly this issue. Because think about it. Rav, remember, Ravuna was the famous Talmud of Rav, right? So whatever he did was apira. But Rav said that the halacha is that if you give something to someone to watch for you, so then it has the din of the shomer. So my first problem is, forget about why it would be different. But ihu tala, so if he himself had hung it up, why would he be allowed to take it home according to Rav? And Ravuna is Rav's Talmud. Didn't Ravuna was a Talmud of Rav Abin? And didn't Rav say that it's karagle mi shehiv kido etzlo? So in this case, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi wasn't there. And if that's the case, in any event, even if he had come and was zocha in it, if he hangs it up in that rishus and then he goes away, so then they are the shomrim. Right? So then it should go according to their tchum, not according to his tchum. So why does Ravuna say that it would be mutter for him to take it? No, that's different. That's different. He hung it on the door. If he hung it on the door, then the point is that he wasn't giving it to them to watch for him. It was saying that since this was my unit in the hotel or whatever, So this was the room that was given to me. So then it's the equivalent of saying, you can put your stuff in this closet. So Kamishi Yichid like Karen Zavita, and therefore it does not mean that they were Shomrim. It just means that he was using the room that he had rented or the room that they were Mashiel, which is exactly the case of giving him the closet. Okay, fine. So that explains why Ravuna said he could take it. But why, if they put it up, can he not take it? That I don't understand. Amar Ravilo Ravashi, and if they hung it up for him, what, he can't take it home? I mean, didn't Shmuel say that at the Shor Shel Patam, remember, was a case where a guy is in business to get these delicious fat shvarim. He fattens them up. People come from all over to buy meat from him. So the idea over there is that since he is hoping that people are going to be coming to take the meat from him, the animal, turn it into meat, obviously, take the animal for him on Yontif. So because of that, Shmuel said that it goes according to the purchaser, whoever ends up buying it. Since this person had in mind, remember we had a machlokas over the Rishonim, whether that's because it has a din of chafetz hefker or whether Shmuel agrees to Breira in this particular case, which is a much more difficult, but it's Shabbat Balamor, much more difficult approach, but whatever it was. But Shmuel said that the bottom line is, if you have in mind that you are going to be giving it to somebody else, then that person is able to define its tchum. Now, over here, they know exactly who they're giving it to. You don't need any kind of brera. I mean, they're giving it to this guy, and they're putting it on his door. And you said he's not allowed to carry it home. Why not? Who argues with this? Ravina, said Ravashi. I don't know. What do you have to worry about the way Rav Hillel is saying it? I mean, there's a more basic issue. If they put it up, the people that own the hotel or the bread and breakfast, they put it up, so he's not allowed to take it home. What about, even if you're not telling me it's the equivalent of Shor Shel Patam, Omar Rabba Bar Bachonam Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha goes haliba to Rabbi Dosa, and that was the case of the Ro'ez. So we had a shepherd over there, and the case was where everybody always gives to that shepherd, and it says that therefore, even if you give it to the shepherd on Yontev, it still gets the tchum of the shepherd, because that's where it was understood that it was going to be on Yontif. Now, in this case, it was clearly understood where it was going to be on Yontif, but it's come on to the pshat of the Shor Shel Patam. I mean, that's a much broader issue, because that is the question of whether it goes to anybody. Fine, so it doesn't go to anybody, but over here, it goes to the shepherd, so to speak. Rav Chanan bar Chaniloi is the shepherd. So what are we talking about? Why in the world can't he take it? I don't understand. Omar Lay. And Ravashi himself, Amale Ravashi Rufkana, Iinu Tolu Lo Shokel, Vatnan Abeima Vahakelim, Kiragle Habaalim. Who is the owner over here? Isn't he the owner? So I don't understand. Since it was put there all along, and they knew that he was only staying there for the meal at the night, so then why in the world are they even Shomrim? They just put the meat down for him. That's completely his thing. It goes according to his own tchum. I don't understand how did this happen, this whole discussion about why we're assuming that they're Shomrim and we have to come on to whether he's a Ro'eh or whether it's a Shor Shel Patam. It's nothing to do with that. It's a very simple situation. They make a meat delivery. The people put it in his room in order for him to be able to have it. What's the problem? It's his meat.
What's the Maisa Kinyan? Because it's in his Rishus? How is he coded?
First of all, we don't need a Maisa Kinyan. But fine, certainly in this case, it is Rishus. Why do we need a Maisa Kinyan? We said that it doesn't have to be in your actual Rishus. It's enough if something is given to you, remember? Even in a case where you didn't have an opportunity to even deliver it to the guy, and that was the Beferish HaMishnah. That was the Kiddush of the Mishnah. You don't need to actually take delivery. Something's wrong with the way we understand this. It says the Gemara, you're absolutely right. We made a complete error at the very beginning, thinking that the issue over here was that Rav Chanan bar Chaniloi was asking whether he has a right to take it home. That wasn't the question. His question was, does he have a right to eat it at all? And why not? I'll tell you what the problem is. Rav Chanan bar Chaniloi was a big Talmud Chacham. And because of that, he was a Gavra Rabba. And his mind was not on meat. His mind was on the shear. Okay. So therefore, when they delivered the meat, it became Boser Shenis Ali Minayin. Remember that Rav's Shita is that if somebody is not concentrating on the meat, that he's not allowed to eat it afterwards. If he did, if there wasn't someone who saw what happened with this meat, or if it doesn't have a simen on it, that clearly, which he, clearly in a simen he didn't have. So therefore, since he was Torud in his learning, so the problem is that Rav holds Basar Shenis Ali Min HaAyin is also not what we call Basar Shenis Ali Min HaAyin, which is meat that was in the hand of a goy who was delivering it. You could have switched it. That is not what Rav holds. That everybody holds. But Rav holds, even when there's no problem of a goy switching it, the meat has to be under constant supervision in order for it not to be in Basar Shenis Ali Min HaAyin. So that we have back in Chulin, we discussed the issue of whether even birds could have switched it. So what Ravuna was saying to him is, look, if you hung it up yourself, so then that means that you looked at it and eat the chasimane begabei, the lomas akta date mine. So basically, you would have noted what it looks like because you understood lechatchila when you hung it up that you want to take care of it to make sure it doesn't become usser, right? But if they were tailor it for you, I'll bet what happened is the fact that they were told to meet for you went in one ear and went out the other ear. You never really paid much attention to it. And therefore, you wouldn't recognize it if it were not the same piece. And furthermore, you weren't thinking about it. So for all intents and purposes, nobody was thinking about this meat because you were mesachta da'atcha. So since you were mesiach das from it, that is the reason you're not allowed to take it. And therefore, this has zero to do with our sugya. Okay, let's just do the Mishnah to bring us to the last sugya over here. Sir Richard, your last opportunity to introduce a new Mishnah in Masechet Beitzah. You will still have, Bezrat Hashem, an opportunity to say something very important when we get to the Siyam. Thank you. Beautifully done. So now the question is, what we call today free-ranging animals. Now, that's not exactly the same thing as what they called free-ranging animals at the time of the Mishnah. Free-ranging animals today means you let the animals out long enough for them to just go around and graze, and you're not feeding them the stored hay, which is half-rotten anyway, right? So you want to have nice, fresh food that the animals eat. But here, what we're interested in terms of free-ranging, is whether it's muktzah or not. Now, free-ranging, Gavi can tell you about free-ranging, because I'm sure that he has bumped into many of the tzvat cows along his walks, right? There's no way to walk around your area without bumping into cows. And you're thinking, now, who the heck owns these cows? Well, these cows have been wandering around for months. That's the amazing thing. Right. And basically, that's what's called free ranging cows. And they only come home when the weather turns bad. So then you go around, you find your cows, you bring them back. So that's what's called free ranging. And therefore, it's called much more than free ranging. It's called midbariot. Those are wild wilderness cows, basically. And I remember that there was this big snowstorm in Tzfat. It was an early storm. And every cow in the area ran out of anything to eat because everything was covered with snow. The entire city of Tzfat was covered by cows going through the garbage pail to see if they could find something to eat in town. But anyway, so these are midbariot. So you are not allowed. Now, I understand you're not allowed to shech the midbariot and yonta because they're not in your mind at all, because you figure they're going to be out of town for another few months. So you definitely have in mind to check them. So they're considered to be muktzah because, like, you've sent them out of town basically to take care of themselves. But strangely, the Mishnah inserts watering them. What do you mean watering them? What do you pour water over them? I mean, mashkin, I understand, means to give them water, but how could it be an issue to give water? We said you're allowed to. You're allowed to, even from the vivarium, you're allowed to provide food and water. If it's something that you own, couldn't mean you're not allowed to give them water. So what in the world does it mean? That the Gemara is going to ask. But the shochtin part makes sense. But you can be mashkin and shochtin et habayatot. Now, when we say bayatot, don't think that we mean animals that sit around in a barn. I mean, obviously, if the animals are sitting around in a barn, you're allowed to be shechting them. That's the whole point, no? When we say bayatot, we mean free-ranging. But why they're called bayatot is because they come home at night to spend the night in the barn protected. That's the point. But certainly they are free-ranging. So there the point is that even though they're free-ranging, since they come back at night, so they're not considered to be muktzah because you always have access to them. Midbariot, that means they are lanot be'afar. So they can spend the nights for the next few months out there, and you don't really know where they are. And therefore, they're considered to be muktzah. And we'll just do the part that explains the word mashkin. What in the world is mashkin v'shochtim talking about? I mean, the Mishnah can't be talking about giving them water. So what it says that you can give them water, it's talking about the watering that is part of the shechita. What would that be? That is just a piece of practical advice. The Mishnah is giving you a piece of practical advice. And that is that when you are going to shecht, always ask your animal, what is his last wish? Does he want some schnapps? Does he want some water before the shechita? Because it's very important for this animal to have a drink. Now, the animal thinks you're being very nice. So what's your last wish and hope on this earth? You know, so he's thinking, gosh, at least they're giving me a drink. Nah, the reason you're giving him a drink is because that way it's easier to skin his hide and be able to make some shoes and wallets for yourself. Oh, my God. Anyway, but look, at least the animal's naive enough to smile. So the Mishnah is telling you the Chiddush, that you should always give a water to your animal before Shechita, and that's Mishum Sircha Damashcha, because otherwise there are Sirchas, adhesions, that make it very difficult to do the skinning, and you can't just pull off the skin, which you can do if you gave some water beforehand.